I mean, it's so many people I go out here in the street and knock on doors and talk to people, excuse me, about different things when it comes to the Bible or about the Lord. And a lot of people will say, well, I know all about those things. They may know his attributes. They may know about, the some of the biblical truths that are there. But they don't know God. And what I want to do is I want to begin a series today on knowing God. And by that I mean not just the academics, but I want us to understand what it means to know God personally. Personally. You know, one of the challenges for me when I went to Bible college and seminary was the fact of learning all the academics. You know, I had to learn all the academics. And you know, sometimes, you know, you can have all these academics down, and the challenge would be that you know the academics, but you don't know God. You can be in a church, you can know all about the doctrine, the teachings, and not know God. Yeah, you know, I think I know my wife pretty well. You know, we've been married, it'll be into this year 35 years. And I think I know her pretty well. Now, when we first got married, I knew about her, but I didn't really know her that well. I mean, I thought I did. But over time, I got to know her. I think I know what she likes and what she doesn't like. I know the colors that she likes. Anytime we go to the store, if we're looking for, and she's trying to help me find clothes, it'll always be green. Always. She loves green. Or something like a green, you know. I mean, I just know what she likes and what she doesn't like. I know about her. I know how she would respond to things. And I know she gets a phone call and someone says, well, what do you think your wife would say? I think I know what she would say. Although every now and then she'll throw me a curveball. But I know my wife. I know her personally. And my question today is, how well do you know God personally? How well do you know what he would like and what he wouldn't like and what he thinks about this and how he deals with that? How well do you know him? Because, you see, I'm convinced a lot of people just don't know God. They can give me all the head knowledge, but there's very few have a heart relationship with him. They don't really understand what I'm talking about. And so this morning I want to ask, as we begin this series, I do not want it to be an academic series. I don't to be the fact that, you know, as we're introducing these things to you over the next several weeks, I don't want you to think of it as a theological course or anything like that, because if it is, it'll be totally misunderstood. I want it to be something that you can say, you know, if you don't really know God, this would be your chance to get to know him. And it can start today, right now. It can start, because honestly, we have to come before God and say, God, you know, I don't know if I really know you. Paul writes and says that I may know him. And I think if anyone knew about God and knew God personally, not just about him, but knew him personally, if anyone did, Paul did. And says that I might know him. In other words, the idea is that this idea of knowledge, of growing and knowing God, is that which we choose to develop in our life, that we would say, well, you know, I really need to know him. It's funny, because this is so critical for us as Christian believers. You know, we hear about that, and then we hear a lot about what might be called the will of God. And what does it mean about the will of God? So we challenge teenagers. Well, you know, teenager, you need to know the will of God. And And you know, in this Knowing God series, so often we have this communication that can be misunderstood, and we don't get it, we don't understand it, but yet then we tell our teenagers that, you know, teenager, you need to know God. You need to know God's will. You know what God wants you to do. And so we almost present it like it's a mystical, maybe something that you have to reach out and get a hold of. It's as if, you know, can we really know God? And certainly we can know God. Because as we know Him, this relationship will be that of a guidance. There are times when sometimes I think church members are hesitant to get involved in ministry because they'll say something like, I just don't know all the doctrines. I don't know all those teachings. I don't know all those things. And I'm going to tell you this, I would much rather have someone get involved in the ministry who knows God and maybe not all the doctrinal things, rather than somebody who knows all the doctrinal things and does not know God. Because knowing God, God will reveal those things to that person. And you know, in this broken world, there are those who are really confused about this matter of knowing God, because communication is not natural. It's something that we have to make sure that we make an effort to understand, to grow in, to develop. Now, my grandmother's an excellent example. My grandmother died, I think it was 2006, if I remember, or five. And my grandmother was 92 years old when she died. And all the years that I, of course, knew my grandmother up to that point, she had walked with God. She was saved as a young girl. She heard Billy Sunday preach. She had heard some of the greats of the past. And she received Christ as her personal Savior at a very young age. And, you know, she never, as far as I know, I don't think she ever taught a Sunday school class. I don't even think she ever actually, led any kind of groups or anything. I think she was just always one of those faithful people who walk with God day in and day out, year in and year out, month in and month out. And I mean, you know, just knowing her life. But I will tell you, through my grandmother's walk with God, she impacted so many people. It's unbelievable. My uncle, her son, got saved through her witness, and I did, and some of my cousins, and on it goes. I mean, it's just an amazing. She was an amazing woman, and the reason is because she knew God. She knew God. I don't even know if she could tell you half of the doctrines, but I will tell you this: she knew God. I read about a man who was sick. He had a disease, and he was dying very quickly, and so they were giving medication to try to make him as comfortable as they possibly could as he was about to enter into eternity. And he had a chair by his hospital bed, and every day around noon or so he would start talking to the chair. Well, all the nurses thought, you know, that's kind of crazy, you know, probably he's delusional because of the medication, could be other things. And so he would talk to that chair, and it'd go on for like some hour, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours. And no one really had the heart to go in and ask him. They just, you know, they would say, you need anything? No, we're fine, fine. And then one day, one of the nurses came in and sat down and said, you know, I notice here in the chair that's empty, it seems as though you're always talking to somebody, and I don't know if it's your medication, if you realize you're not, but what is that that's caused you to do that? And he said, that's because my Lord is there. You see, my Lord is there with me. He's sitting right there. I'm not alone. I have Him there with me. And all I'm doing is getting to know Him better, because I know one day, real soon, I'll be seeing Him. And I want to know Him. So my question this morning is this. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, or whether you're maybe a senior adult, or whether you're sick, or whether you don't know all the academics. One thing is certain. Every one of us in here can know God. God makes it possible that we can know Him. And how important that is that we get to know Him. And then we learn, when we get to the Bible, how many places where God has made Himself known so that people can know Him. The Bible in Deuteronomy, God was speaking through Moses to the people. And if you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, there's a chapter there in which Moses is giving a long message. Now, I don't know how long this message would have been if you'd have been there. I know the Bible doesn't always give us total information, complete. It gives us what God wants us to know, but he didn't maybe, but Moses here was preaching a rather long message. And it is the greatest presentation of who God is in all of the Bible. And if you start at verse number 1, you can read all the way down, but I want to draw your attention to verse 32. Because here, Moses is standing before the people, and he's telling them about how great God is and all the things that God has done, and they were reflecting back. In fact, Deuteronomy means second law. That's what the word, the book means. So this is sort of a repetition for the nation. And what God is doing is God is communicating to the nation of who he is, how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. They had just seen many great things accomplished. They'd seen how God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. They'd seen God speak to them from fire out of heaven. And they'd seen all those things, the kinds of things that most people would never see, they had seen. And now Moses is addressing this crowd of Israelites, and he's giving them instruction about God. And in verse 32, that's what I want you to look at, the Bible said, well, let's pick up at verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other whether there be any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it, referring to all that God has done in the nation. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or if God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee this his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy father, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land of an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his judgments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So what Moses is saying is, he says, I want you to understand that God can be known. I want you to realize how big God is. I want you to realize how great God is. And this morning, I want to tell you this. We do not serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. We do not serve a God that's so far out of our reach that we cannot reach him. We understand that God is as close as a prayer. And God is about to reveal himself to this nation. I hope God will do the same for you. But there's some important points to keep in mind. And number one is that belief affects your behavior if you consider it. Do you realize that what you believe will affect your behavior? Let me explain. Every Sunday morning, Janet asked me a question. Here's what she says. What's the weather going to be like today? And I said, well, it's going to be 95 degrees today. Well, now, that would affect what she puts on to wear for the day. I mean, is she going to wear something warm or something cooler, right? That's because she's thoroughly convinced that whatever, you know, she believes about that day, that's going to affect how she dresses. Do you realize that what you believe about God is going to affect how you live? If you believe that there is no God, it'll affect how you live. That's why a lot of people, they lean on that, you know, I don't believe in God, you know. Really, that's just an excuse to be able to live any way they want to.
That's right.
But God within us, he's put this empty hole, this God-sized hole inside of us that moves us, that we want to worship something. And whether it would be the fact that we worship, if you would, atheism, that there is no God, we make that as our act of worship. Or whether we worship God as the God of heaven, it's certainly going to affect how we behave. It's going to affect how our lives are guided. It's going to affect all those things. And so what God was telling the nation of Israel is, I want you to believe me. I want you to know me, because what you do is going, or what you believe is going to affect your behavior. And that's so vitally important. Look at verse 15 and 16, same chapter. Let's go back and look at it and notice. It says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord hath spake unto you in the Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Notice what he says. He says, whatever you believe is going to affect your behavior. And in fact, if you believe in a pagan god or multiple gods, you probably would make gods with your own hands. So it's very important to keep that in mind. Something else to keep in mind is that if you think about knowing God begins with fearing God. To know God means that you begin with fearing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs says. So as I begin to fear God, then I'm going to begin to understand what it means to know him. I mean, if, you know, it's a funny thing. I've always thought about atheists, you know. I know several atheists, and they always say something like this. Well, you know, you believe whatever you want to, and I don't believe all that. And, you know, and they give you all these expletives about why they don't believe in God. And then I say, well, why, if you don't believe there's a God, do you even think about it? I mean, really, why do you think about it? Do you realize that if you don't believe in, like for example, people say they don't believe in, for me, for example, I'm not going to get into debate, so that's not my thing, but I don't believe there's life in other planets, and some people do. Well, because I don't believe there's life in other planets, I'm not going to spend my entire life trying to debunk the fact of something I don't believe in. But the fact is that if we understand God and we believe God, and all of you do here, that's why you're here today, we have to understand that began when we feared the Lord. Now, the word fear doesn't mean the fact you want to run away from him. It's that we respect and honor him. There's that reverential awe. There's that idea that for me, that I want to bow down and recognize him for who he is, the importance that he has in my life and in your life. But the question still comes out, why do I need to know God? I mean, what's the real reason for me to get to know God? Well, I've got some reasons, and I want to give them to you. Number one, because there's only one God. There's only one God. There are not multiple gods, but I will tell you, there are a lot of man-made gods out here. How many of you realize there's a lot of man-made gods? You realize that? Okay. You know, I mean, it may not necessarily be a statue that we bow down to. It may not necessarily be something that we look to, that we carry around in our pocket. But the fact is that there is a multiple gods all over the place. And what God says is, I don't want you to worship me alongside other gods. I want you to worship me and me only. That's what Exodus says. Exodus says, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, it says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. That idea being exclusive. I want exclusive worship. In other words, we don't worship God with all the other gods. We don't bow down to other gods. We don't let them come before us and the true God. In other words, we give him exclusive worship. And since there's only one God, as in Deuteronomy says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and Israel knew that. That means that we are to bow down and worship that one God. So the reason is because there's only one God. Though the world has many gods, there's only one. And while we deal with that in our life, we know that he is the one God. Another reason is because he's our creator. Aren't you glad God created us? Amen. He is the creator. According to this passage, God being the creator means that God is saying to us, as your creator, it's natural for us to want to know, why are we here? What's my purpose for being here? I'm, if he's the creator, then the creator is the one that put me here. So he had a reason for me to be here. That's my purpose. How many people in our world are looking around and saying, I don't even know why I'm here. What's my purpose? What is my existence? Now, I was thinking, I did a kind of a research. I want to find maybe something that, how many of you know what this is? Some of these fit your hand better than others, but we know what this is. And so I want to look up, I want to figure out if a hammer was made by a man or invented by a man named Hammer. And that's not true. No one knows who invented the hammer. No one knows that. It goes far back as Roman days. So you can see it's a real theological study here, And so you go back to Roman days, and they use hammers all the way back in ancient Rome. But who can tell me, what is a hammer for? What do you use it for? Give me the one thing that we use a hammer for. Pounding a what? Nail. Which one? Not that one. That one, right? But how many of you also know that a hammer can be used for other things? I mean, it's a horrible thing to think, but people use a hammer to hurt people, can't it? It's kind of funny. I was walking over with this hammer in my hand, and everyone was clearing out of the way as I was walking over. I don't know why. Maybe I was hanging a picture. But you can use a hammer for things other than what the purpose that it's used for. And what am I saying today? I'm saying you could live your life for something other than the purpose that God created you for. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people live their life other than what God made them for. They may live their life for pleasure. They may live their life for the gods of this world. They may live their lives for whatever they can get out of this life and neglect the purpose of which God has made us. So a hammer has one main purpose, to drive a nail. That's its purpose. And you and I, we have one main purpose, and that is we are to glorify God. We're to honor God with our life. That's why you're here. And that's why it's very significant that in this passage, when we're talking about God, when we talk about knowing God, that means that for you and I, that we understand that God put us here, he created us, and we have a purpose. And while maybe we have to live, maybe we have to work, we have to do all these other things to exist in this life, we have to understand our guiding, our underlying, our number one purpose is to honor and glorify God in everything we do. Israel needed to know that because they lived in a world much like our world today, where all the nations around them serve pagan gods, many of them serve multiple gods, and what he was trying to get them to understand is that as your God, that you are to live exclusively in worshiping me as God amidst a world that does not worship God, and find your purpose. And that's our purpose. As we get to know God, then we realize our purpose. The Bible says it like this in Psalm 100. Know ye that he, that the Lord, he is God. He hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. But then there's the third purpose. He made us and created us. But there's a third reason why we should get to know God, is because he's the Savior. Verse 37. The Bible says that it referred back in verse 37 here about the Exodus. The Exodus refers to a deliverance from slavery. And every one of us, before we met Jesus Christ, we are servants to sin. We were slaves to sin. And so when we met Jesus Christ, the Bible said that not only are we forgiven of the penalty of sin, but we are forgiven of the power of sin as well in our life. He saved us. He's the Savior. There is no other Savior but him. Nobody else can do that. Only what God did for you and for me. So when I think of that, he's the Savior for all of mankind, then it tells me something. So the pathway of knowing God is not through the head, it's through the heart. If you want to know God, it's not, well, I need to go to Bible college so I can know God. No, you don't need to go to Bible college to know God. Well, I could go to Bible college and get a lot of head knowledge, but that's not the pathway of knowing God. It's through the heart, and it always begins with the heart. Romans chapter 10 says it like this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know what I find? When I know somebody in my heart, it becomes experiential, not mental. How well do you know him today? That's my question. The reason why you should know him? Well, he's the only God. He's the creator, and he's the Savior. Good reasons why I should know God. Maybe you've never met him today. God says to you, he wants to be your Savior too. And then here's another question. Christian, what about your walk with God? How well do you know him? I would hope that you would decide today, right now, that, you know, I'm going to go from the head knowledge to the heart knowledge. I do realize that maybe there might be a little bit of head knowledge in the beginning, but it should grow experientially to where I really know God. I already know what God thinks about something. I already know what God wants me to do. I already know that. And when that happens, that's where really knowing God is just a tremendous blessing. You see, when we come to answer prayer, because we know God will answer it. What a blessing it is to know that. This brings calmness and peace in our spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed, I pray that as we begin this study, that you will challenge us anew to get to know you.